Engineers in America have developed a computer program that can train itself to spot skin cancers in photos from a patient's skin, and then in tests, it does it as successfully as a panel of trained skin specialists. Stanford PhD student André Estevar invented it.
What we've done is to build a computer algorithm, like a computer program, that can match the performance of board-certified dermatologists at identifying whether or not an image of a skin lesion is benign or malignant. And we've tested it across three really important medical diagnostic use cases, which include identifying carcinomas, including basal and squamous cell carcinomas, from their benign counterparts, as well as identifying malignant melanoma from normal, ordinary moles.
And you do this by showing the computer program images of these respective lesions?
That's correct. We use a data-driven approach, which, in contrast to previous computer programs where you would tell the computer do step one, do step two, do step three, instead what we do is we feed the computer a massive amount of data. We show it images, and we tell it what those images are of, for instance, malignant melanoma, and it learns through a training process how to distinguish between benign and malignant all on its own.
Now, when you say you feed it a massive amount of data, just define what does that mean in practical terms? How much data?
We're using about 1.4 million total images. We use about 1.28 million images of normal everyday objects. You see, training this algorithm is split up into two steps. In the first step, you're sort of teaching the algorithm what the world looks like. You show it images of everyday objects like cats and dogs and tables and chairs. And in the second step, you show it images of skin disease. And there we use almost 130,000 images of skin disease over 2,000 different disease types.
So it then learns what it's looking for as
That's
the first
correct.
Sort of a priori thing. And then once it knows what it's looking for, that is skin, that is a skin lesion, then it begins to extract the corresponding data that tells it what the diagnosis might be, benign, malignant, and what sort of malignant disease.
That's about right, yes.
How does it know it's got it right?
We know the ground truth. So we have a test set of images that the algorithm has never seen before. And after we train the algorithm, we test it on just under 2,000 different images, all biopsy proven, which means that a pathologist has confirmed if they're benign or malignant. And so we can gauge its accuracy.
And how accurate was it? In other words, how good is it?
What we did in this work was an image-by-image comparison. We showed to the dermatologist an image of a lesion, and then we showed to the algorithm an image of the exact same lesion, and we asked them, would you biopsy or treat this lesion, or would you reassure the patient? And that allowed us to determine a sensitivity and specificity for each. What we found is that the algorithm performed on par with all tested experts.
And in fact, it performed as well or better than a panel of 21 dermatologists or skin doctors. So what do the experts make of it?
My name is Sancy Leachman. I'm the chair of the Department of Dermatology at the Oregon Health and Science University. What we struggle with in dermatology is not being able to quickly see enough patients who have something that might be concerning. And what this particular machine does is it allows their moles or their skin lesions to be checked really quickly by an objective source without necessarily having to have a dermatologist on hand to do it.
Do we know whether a picture of a particular skin complaint is as good as showing the dermatologist the skin complaint literally in the flesh?
Well, we actually do have some data on that. There have been some papers published looking at whether or not digital images are just as good as a human exam in person. And it turns out that it's not perfect. It's not quite as good, but it's very, very close. It's close enough that it's probably good enough to triage people, to be able to tell people, do you really need to see a doctor, or is this clear enough that we can avoid that office visit? And that's huge when you have an overburdened healthcare system.
Well, we should know all about that with the NHS, but what do you think the scale of the problem that it can solve is? How big is this?
Well, I mean, when you're talking about just this first step, thinking about all of dermatology, if you could really use it to detect all kinds of skin diseases, that would be pretty big. But if you think about getting it to work for dermatology and then having it extend to radiology or pathology or ophthalmology, then you're talking about it extending throughout the entire field of medicine, and it's huge. It's absolutely huge.
Are you comfortable with that, though? Do you not think that there might be some shortcomings here because you are replacing a human being with a computer program? And computer programs don't have emotions, they don't have human instincts, but moreover, they may not also spot other glaring diagnoses that a person with a mole that's actually benign needn't worry about, but the other thing that will kill them next week will be completely overlooked.
Yes, that's obviously a concern, and it's not that different from how we use automatic flying systems, guidance systems in an airplane. You still need that pilot there to be able to override. And I think it's similar with this kind of technology, that you want to have a backup person. And I do think that the false sense of security part of this is that you still need a person to decide what lesion needs to be examined by the machine. So you might end up having a person who wants to check something that they think is bad, but it turns out they have something that's much, much worse on their back that they don't even know about. And if they'd gone in to see the doctor in person, that might have been detected.
Still amazing, though, isn't it? That was Sansi Leachman, and before her, André Estevar, and the work was published this week in the journal Nature.